listening to Retirement Today with Jenna Carnes. Planning for retirement comes with its own set of challenges, from navigating market ups and downs to protecting your purchasing power and creating a strategy that fits your vision for the future. On this show, we'll break down key financial topics, offer practical advice, and explore strategies to help you retire with confidence. Now let's jump into Retirement Today.
Hello and welcome to Retirement Today. My name is Jenna Carnes, and I'm the owner and financial advisor at Beacon Wealth Advisory. And we're here to help you get to and through retirement with financial peace. If you would like to listen to this podcast again or any of our past ones, you can find and follow us on Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music. We also even have a YouTube channel now, which you can type in Beacon Wealth Advisory to find us and subscribe to be notified every time we have a new video coming out. For most Americans, tax-advantaged retirement accounts like 401ks and IRAs are a critical component of their retirement strategies. However, many plan to fail for taxes. You won't be able to keep everything that you've contributed into those accounts. As many of you know, taxes can be some of the biggest expenses in retirement, and we want to be smart about how we withdraw those funds to reduce our taxes. And I'm actually doing this show for a very dear client of mine that asked me. He said, "Jenna, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. Could you please do a show on how retirement withdrawals are taxed? I need more information on that." So I'm doing this for you. And before we get going on this topic, I want to welcome and bring on my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill. I know those of you watching have seen her before. Always great to have you on the show, Jacqueline. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Jenna. Yeah, this is wonderful. And I think this topic is so critical. Even myself, taxes are so confusing. I don't understand them. Yeah. They are hidden everywhere. You think that you have this amount of money and you really don't. So just knowing that you have this knowledge and that you're willing to bring this knowledge to me is fantastic. And I cannot wait. But before we get started, Jenna, how are you? How is the family? What is new in your life?
Yeah, well, we are doing wonderful. Fall is here and I am so excited. It's my favorite season, mainly because we are huge Kansas City Chiefs football fans. As you can tell, I'm sporting one of my favorite jerseys, Travis Kelce. I keep telling my friends, please don't schedule these baby showers, weddings, funerals, get-togethers during a Kansas City Chiefs football game, because I will not be there if you do, you know? We are so excited. I know Kansas City, they're playing the Chargers this Friday in Brazil. We're not going to Brazil. We are staying at home and watching it. But it's just always such a fun time of year. We just have made so many great memories going to these football games. So what about you, Jacqueline? I'm sure that you and your boyfriend, do you take in some Vikings games or get into the football season at all?
Well, you know, I didn't want to tell you this before the show, Jenna, but I am not a football fan. And also in mind, my boyfriend is also not a football fan.
Oh my goodness.
I am pretty lucky because I don't have to spend Sundays with my boyfriend watching football. So I will take that as a win.
Wow. Yes, you probably actually get some very good quality time with him on Sundays. That's so funny.
We just spend Sundays baking or cooking or, you know, doing the fall activities. But I think I do keep up to date with the Vikings, but not player wise. I don't know any players. I used to live in Eagan, which is where the Vikings training facility is now.
Yes.
And so it was a huge thing in high school. We would go to the training facility and do our games there. Like our homecoming game was there once. So it was a huge part of my life, but it's just, I don't really watch football on Sundays.
That's okay. Hey, no worries. Yeah. Well, sounds like you'll still have fun, though. Anything fun planned for this weekend?
You know, not really. I'm excited to get some stuff done around the house, actually. And I am now kind of mourning summer in a way, like I like to say, you know, after Labor Day, now it's kind of mourning summer. So,
yeah, I hear you. Well, I'll tell you, we had fun over the weekend already getting our fall decor out. Are you kind of a pumpkin spice person?
Yes.
Have you gotten into the fall decor yet? You could do that this weekend, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are experiencing fall weather already, actually. So,
really?
Yes, we are mid 60s right now.
Wow. Nice and crisp out there, huh?
Yes, for sure. Well, Jenna, I'm excited about the show today. Where are we going to begin?
Yeah. Well, like I was saying before, a lot of people, you know, they know how to get through the accumulation phase, kind of climbing up that mountain and trying to get to that magical number for retirement. But the decumulation phase, the spending phase of retirement, going down that mountain, can really be more complex, especially if you bring taxes into play. So taking distributions from your retirement accounts, you're often required to include them on your income taxes annually. So there are some simple ways to potentially reduce the amount of taxes you'll be hit with when you're taking withdrawals out. And a lot of the information I'm covering today is from a U.S. News and World Report article, which is how to pay less tax on retirement account withdrawals. And it provides a lot of information that I think will really be excellent and timely for our conversation today, Jacqueline. So I really can't wait to get into this because, gosh, I get this question all the time. How can I reduce my taxes when I'm taking out all this money in retirement?
Yes, absolutely. And we just can't wait to hear more about how people can potentially reduce their taxes in retirement. I mean, what can be better than that?
Yeah, exactly. Other than a football game or the Kansas City Chiefs or baking, right?
Or seeing, you know, Taylor Swift at the game.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't that be great? See, and you know, on that note, Taylor really has brought in a whole new market for the NFL, right? I mean, there's absolutely a lot of women like you that, you know, never watched football. And now there's a lot more women football fans, I think, watching on Sunday, especially the Chiefs because of Travis Kelce. But hey, yep, absolutely. Well, the first smart action step is to avoid any early withdrawal penalties. And I think most people know that if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you could face a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you start taking money out of your traditional IRA, for example. But it may be possible to utilize a penalty-free 401k withdrawal when you turn 55 if you leave the job that's linked to that particular 401k. Additionally, you may position yourself to avoid early withdrawal penalties if you use the money you take out for approved reasons like, oh, medical expenses or to purchase your first home. So being sure your strategy for retirement withdrawals is thorough is a great reason to work closely with a financial advisor that's really had some training on how taxation impacts retirement withdrawals, which we have really had quite a bit of training through Ed Slott's program. So.
And few things make me sweat, like thinking about paying penalties on my own money, Jenna.
Yeah, that's not fun. You don't want to be in hot water with the IRS, right?
For sure.
Yep. Well, you may also be able to roll your 401k over without tax withholdings. And we've talked about this on a past show. If you withdraw money from your 401k and you just send the check directly to the other custodian where the IRA is actually being held, you can avoid both the 20% withholding and any penalties that could be assessed if you're just rolling it from a 401k to an IRA and you do something called that trustee to trustee transfer. You just have to make sure the check is not made payable to you personally, but made payable to the company that it's going to. And that way you can avoid that, right?
Yeah, no kidding. And that can get very confusing. I mean, how do like require minimum distributions work, Jenna? I mean, most people call them RMDs, correct? So how does this fit into all of this?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. People ask me about RMDs or required minimum distributions all the time. And basically, if you think about like a 401k or a traditional IRA or just any kind of pre-tax investment vehicle, if you haven't paid taxes on that yet, Uncle Sam comes knocking by your 73rd birthday. And the penalty for not taking an RMD out, he wants you to pay some taxes on it each year because you haven't paid taxes on it. If you just forget to pay it, the penalty is actually 25% of the total that you would have had to have withdrawn, in addition to the money that you have to pay taxes on with that RMD. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, I am shocked.
Big penalty, right? Now, if you work with a CPA and just fess up and say, hey, this was a mistake, and take action on it right away, the penalty could potentially drop to as low as 10%. Furthermore, if you're still on the job after you hit 73 and you don't owe more than 5% of, to the company that you work for, you may be able to delay taking those RMDs out from your current employer, but not IRAs, just if it's a 401k or an employer plan, until you officially retire. And also, this is important to note, this was a change that recently happened. The RMD age is scheduled to change to 75 for people to start taking RMDs out on January 1st, 2033. So I know that's a ways away, but if you are going to be 75 and in your 70s, that's good for you to know that in 2033, you won't be required to take anything out till 75.
Yeah, I mean, in an older RMD age, even if it is 8 years down the road, is probably something our listeners will want to meet with their financial professional advisor just to discuss this.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you know, you think about that, it is nice to be able to wait longer. But at the same time, if that balance just keeps growing in your 401k or IRA, the amount that you would have to take out at the RMD age of 75 could be higher. And next, the other thing you need to know, you don't want to mistakenly take two distributions in the same year. Your first RMD is required no later than April 1st, the year you turn 73. After that, your next and every subsequent distribution is required by December 31st each year. If you delay your initial distribution until April, you could end up having to take two distributions in the same year, which could mean a larger tax bill, which then could even bump you into a higher tax bracket. Ouch. So again, it is really important to get together with your financial advisor and really your CPA to determine if your tax bill may be reduced if you take your first one out in that first year versus waiting till April the second year and taking two out all in 1 year, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's double the taxes. And with some people, they may want to meet with their financial services professional to see if taking withdrawals before you turn 73 is the right move, Jenna, because that is scary.
You are smart. Bingo. While you aren't required to take money out of your traditional retirement account until you turn 73, taking smaller distributions out while you're in your 60s could help you spread the taxes you owe over more years while also buffering you into a certain tax bracket. And that could ultimately mean you lower your lifetime tax burden. Taking 401k and IRA withdrawals when you have a lower income year, perhaps, for example, after you've retired but haven't yet begun collecting Social Security, could mean you'll face a lower income tax rate on your retirement savings. For example, a meeting with your financial advisor and CPA may determine how much you can withdraw from your accounts and what to pay with your current tax bracket, or perhaps even move you into a lower tax bracket. And I always say this, Jacqueline, but, you know, when you're taking money out of a 401k or IRA, you know, traditional, it's all taxable, right? When you are living off Social Security, that is not a fully taxable income stream. For some people, they're not even paying any tax on it now with some of the new deductions out there. So in my opinion, from a tax planning standpoint, it could be really smart to start living off these 401ks and IRAs earlier in retirement and possibly delaying your Social Security a while, maybe at least till full retirement age, since that is not a fully taxable income stream with a cost of living adjustment. Yes. So there's just so much to consider here, right?
Yeah, no kidding. And being able to work with a financial advisor like yourself, because this is so confusing. I mean, there are so many different accounts, so many different taxes on each.
Right.
I can't even keep them straight.
Right, right. And I will tell you, I've had people literally leave their financial advisor to come work with us sometimes because maybe they've gotten just some bad advice about, you know, which accounts to take money from. And it has been just a nightmare for them tax wise. One lady even told me, you know, her advisor didn't even share with her that she would be taxed on the Social Security at the federal level. So her first year of retirement, she had a huge tax bill because she wasn't aware even that Social Security was taxable. So it is just so important that you work with a financial advisor that will take the time to go through and really plan strategically how to take this money out with causing just a major tax issue. Right?
Yeah, no kidding. And Jenna, I mean, just to kind of overall here, we are discussing today during this episode just how to be able to save money on your retirement withdrawals. So, yep. Jenna, what is next?
Yeah, well, dedicating an IRA distribution to a preferred charity can also be an option you want to discuss with your financial advisor and CPA. Those who are at least 70 and a half may be able to avoid paying income taxes on IRA withdrawals if they do something called a QCD, where they actually contribute the money directly from their IRA to a qualified charity. And I know we've done a show on this in the past. You aren't required to itemize your taxes to do an IRA charitable distribution, and you are allowed to donate to multiple charities, which is nice. An IRA charity donation that meets the minimum distribution requirement, as long as it's like a 501c3, you're also permitted to earn to earmark a percentage of your RMD to charity and then withdraw the remaining amount as income. So if you are over 73, that's a strategy that we've done with a lot of our clients where they donate part of their RMD and then take some of it as income. I would suggest, again, really discussing that option with your CPA and in coordination with your financial advisor.
Yeah. And Jenna, as you just said, and that you've noted also in previous episodes, you know, many of your clients have charities or organizations that they support. So chatting about that option is in greater detail with your financial advisor and your financial team seems like a crucial step.
It really is. Yeah. Like I said, taxes are just one of the biggest expenses in retirement. So another thing people do, you know, you think about moving some of your retirement assets to an after-tax Roth account, like a Roth IRA. And that's a smart move for a lot of people to position them for tax-free investment growth, which then in return means tax-free withdrawals in retirement. While you won't be able to utilize a tax deduction in the year you contribute to a Roth IRA or Roth 401k, the nice thing about that is you won't be required to take income taxes off of that growth when you're withdrawing it, as long as you take it out over at least 5 years. And the thing that a lot of people don't know, Jacqueline, is that you also do not have to take required minimum distributions out of a Roth IRA, which then in return, when you're 73 and 75, you can just let that money sit and grow more if you want to, and, you know, potentially even leave it as a nice tax-free legacy. So if there's a possibility that it's not going to throw you into another tax bracket, it is a good thing to consider during your working years to really be contributing into a Roth 401k or Roth IRA.
Yeah, that seems like a great plan. But yeah. You've also mentioned in previous episodes that Roths aren't going to be the right move for everyone, right?
That is so true. It's really not a one size fits all strategy. Everybody's situation is just so different. And that's why it's so important to talk to a financial advisor or CPA. And though Roth IRAs and 401ks do come with certain advantages, they don't fit inside, like I said, every strategy. So in my opinion, it really is a possible risk if you don't make the right choice. And you really do need to evaluate whether moving money into a Roth account, whether it's a Roth 401k or Roth IRA, is the right fit for you. Because sometimes people that are really making a high income in their working years, it does really benefit them to put a lot of it into the pre-tax. So you really have to work closely with your CPA to see if you could possibly do some Roth 401k or, you know, some regular 401k, just to make sure it doesn't totally throw you into another tax bracket if you make that change. But I'll tell you, I've got a lot of people that understand the benefits long term of a Roth. And even if you can move like a third of your contribution into a Roth 401k, I just think it can make such a big difference. But again, there's advantages and disadvantages that you would want to address with your financial advisor before you make any final decisions.
Yeah, Jenna, there can be some disadvantages that are maybe hidden as well.
And yeah, so exactly.
Those are great details, Jenna. And don't make any permanent decision about a Roth IRA or, you know, a Roth 401k before getting together with your financial services professional. You really want some backup here.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Moving some tax preferred investments to something outside your retirement accounts is another potential option when it comes to saving some money on your retirement withdrawals. Investments that generate long-term capital gains are also entitled to a special tax treatment when they're maintained outside of an investment account. However, if you put these assets into a retirement account, you'll pay your standard income tax on the money you withdraw from those accounts. Conversely, you may be able to slash your taxes a bit by maintaining more highly taxed investments such as treasury, inflation protected securities, corporate and government bonds, and funds that provide short-term capital gains within your retirement accounts. Let me note that I avoid getting into this too much. We could get into the weeds in this show. We don't have ample time to cover all the details with that. But it really is important to look at, you know, as you're taking money out, are you going to pay short-term capital gains tax if it's like just a non-qualified brokerage account? Or are you going to pay long-term capital gains tax? Or is the investment that you're in, when you take it out, are you going to have to pay ordinary income taxes on it? So again, you just have to work with somebody that understands these little details, because one wrong move tax-wise could really cause a problem.
Yeah, no kidding. And like you said, Jenna, we could get into the weeds, but that's why people should talk to you personally and get with you, because that is when you're going to be able to get into the weeds with them, right?
Yes, exactly. And on that note, if people want to schedule a consultation, they can call us at 1-800-994-8993 to schedule that complimentary consultation, or email us at info@beaconwealthadvisory.com. So I'm having fun with this. I know you probably are too, right, Jacqueline?
Absolutely, Jenna. And I know one of my favorite things that we discussed was kind of the charitable donations. So can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me add that a lot of this information I'm going to share is from an article, How to Donate to Charity from Your IRA. So let's start with just a short review. A qualified charitable distribution, which we talked about, is an IRA withdrawal that's paid directly from your IRA to your chosen charity. And we talked about, you know, how important it is to make sure it is a charity that you make that check payable to. And, you know, the next thing that you need to know is that it's really important that if you are donating to a charity, because you can take part of your RMD to do that, you can also really make sure that if you are already contributing annual donations to the charities and organizations that you share with your values, You know, instead of like just paying into that from your credit card or out of your bank account, I think it's great to just, if possible, if you're over 70 and a half, pay that directly from your IRA. Because again, if you kind of start whittling away at that IRA before you hit 73, then your required minimum distribution really isn't quite as big. And so again, it's important too that you contribute to something obviously that you feel passionate about. But yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about those QCDs, and I think it's just really important that you contribute to one that, you know, shares your values and you feel is reputable and all of that, but you have to make the check. I can't stress that enough. You have to make the check directly payable to the charity, right?
Yeah. And so can this type of donation be made from any type of the retirement accounts?
Well, you know, the qualified charitable distribution, you really do have to make that payable from your traditional IRA. So it is really, really important that you don't make it payable from, you know, a different account, because that is really what's going to make sure that, you know, it goes as a QCD. So you can make those charitable contributions again from an IRA and not from 401ks or similar accounts. This means that you may need to transfer funds from a 401k to an IRA if utilizing tax-free donations is part of your strategy.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. And there. Yeah. You've been sharing a lot today about reducing taxes and retirement withdrawals. And so, Jenna, can you just remind our listeners and viewers how they can get a hold of you to schedule that complimentary consultation?
Yes, they can call us at 1-800-994-8993 or email us at info@beaconwealthadvisory.com. And we'd love to get together with them.
Well, thank you, Jenna. And so just to continue with the article from the U.S. News and World Report, how to donate to charity from your IRA. Where else can we go with this? What else do you have to share with us?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's just really important that if you are donating to a charity, that you make sure it's a 501c organization and that it permits to accept your tax-free IRA charitable contribution. Organizations that don't qualify include private foundations and donor-advised funds. You may also distribute your RMD to more than one charity within the same calendar year. For example, if you want to consider creating a portion of your donation to an organization in your community that provides food assistance, and another portion of your donation to arts-focused organizations that provide services you enjoy, you can do that. So it doesn't have to be just like one charity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And with building, you know, the regular charitable donations right into your financial strategy is an excellent reason to work regularly with a financial advisor like yourself.
Yes, it really, really is. Yep, absolutely. And you must meet qualified charitable distribution requirements. From there, you must also meet required minimum distributions, determining our qualified donation tax break. You have to complete the steps for direct transfers. Again, you probably want to move it from a 401k to an IRA and then choose a qualifying charity. It's really important that you know what kind of plans you can do that from and which ones you can't, right?
Yeah, and this is going to save you tens of thousands of dollars in taxes, depending on your tax rate, right?
Yes, it really, 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 really does. And again, I want to go through even in more depth. Qualified charitable donations can't come from employer plans, a current simplified employee pension plan, or simple IRAs for those small business owners. So those who are interested in making QCDs, qualified charitable distributions from their 401k or employer plan, will need to work with a financial advisor to really probably roll that over to a traditional IRA and then make those donations. You may be able to create something of a workaround, asking your financial advisor to a direct rollover again to the IRA or from an active simplified employee pension plan or simple IRA to an IRA. So you have to complete this step in order to do a qualified distribution permissible again from an IRA.
Yeah. And are these situations when a qualified charitable donation may be the best strategy step to take?
Yes. As with many components of your financial plan, a qualified charitable donation may be a good option for some people and entirely different for others. You know, Jacqueline, what's in your best interest financially could be totally different from what is in your boyfriend's best interest or in my best interest, right? Because we're all in different financial situations. So It just really depends on the goals and where the person's at, right?
Absolutely. And that can get very confusing. And that's why having someone in your, you know, corner to help you explain all of this, because even with spouses, it can be different, right, Jenna?
Yeah, exactly. And especially, you know, some spouses do their financial plan together. Some do it separately, you know, to each their own. So whatever situation that we when we sit down with people, we just really listen and try to do what's in their best interest and hear what their goals are. So there's a Fidelity Charitable article that I want to talk about. What is a qualified charitable distribution? And it does describe some potential drawbacks. So you kind of ask, like, you know, is this for everybody type thing? If you own securities that have become more valuable throughout the years, it may be advantageous, at least when it comes to getting a solid tax benefit, to donate money from them directly to your chosen charity rather than making a qualified charitable distribution. So sometimes, you know, you just donate some money from your non-qualified brokerage account. Moreover, if you'd prefer to take a tax deduction in the current calendar year and then support your preferred charitable organization in the future, a qualified charitable donation may not be the best step. Finally, if you're considering a significant charitable donation, working with both your CPA and financial advisor will really give you the best advice on, you know, reducing the tax liability and improve your overall impact of your gift. So again, you know, have a good financial team, right?
Yes, absolutely. And Jenna, this has been a great show. You have made sense of a lot of the taxes and ways to kind of save ourselves from all of these tax burdens. And there seems to be a little bit of a loophole or a better understanding from your side. And so is there anything else you want to share before we sign off today?
Yeah, thank you, Jacqueline. This show is definitely something that is near and dear to my heart, because I know with, you know, people in retirement, it isn't easy always to keep your lifestyle going with inflation and with taxes. So working with a financial advisor that understands how taxes coordinate with your investments is absolutely critical. You know, one wrong move with your withdrawals in retirement could cause a very big tax problem, maybe even penalties. You might even have to pay more in a Medicare premium with IRMA if you accidentally take out too much and get bumped over that level. There is just so much to think about when you're withdrawing money. And again, a lot of people find it not that complex to, on the retirement mountain, go up during the accumulation phase. But when we're going down and we're in the decumulation phase, when we're in that spending phase where we're withdrawing money, it is much more complex. So you have to have a guide that really does understand how investments and taxes coordinate with one another. So we do have a lot of extensive training in that area. And our clients just really love the fact that when we're putting together an income plan, we can really speak to the tax side of that, just to avoid them making some major mistakes that really could cause them to have to pay a lot in taxes in retirement. So listeners can visit my website at www.beaconwealthadvisory.com For more information, or give us a call at 1-800-994-8993 to schedule that complimentary consultation. And we can really give you a second opinion on your investments, as well as take a look at it from a tax angle, just to make sure you're not missing anything. Obviously, it's very important that you also work in coordination with your CPA for specific tax advice. But we do love helping people in this area, and we look forward to hearing from a lot of you.
Yeah, well, great points, Jenna. This has been a great show, and thank you for teaching me and giving all of your knowledge, because there's so much knowledge that you have, and it's so much fun to listen and to hear you and to join you in these conversations, because I learn so much.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my pleasure. I love doing the show with you.
All right, Jenna. Well, this concludes another episode of Retirement Today with our host, Jenna Carnes from Beacon Wealth Advisory, and me, your co-host, Jacqueline. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Retirement Today. A well-planned retirement goes beyond savings. It's about having a strategy for both income and taxes. To learn more, reach out to Jenna Carnes at Beacon Wealth Advisory by calling 800-994-8993 or visiting beaconwealthadvisory.com. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of Retirement Today.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Beacon Wealth Advisory, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Beacon Wealth Services. Beacon Wealth Advisory and Beacon Wealth Services are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.